Hey everyone, this is a podcast I am releasing today. It was a Facebook Live interview that I did with Emily Frazier, the marketing director of the Matchroom Multisport organization. And this is an interview we did talking about pretty much all things Matchroom Pool, but more specifically the Championship League pool. So without further ado, here's the interview.
I'm a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
We are here to talk some Matchroom Pool and more specifically, all of the exciting things you guys have going on starting in 2 weeks. Would you like to give us a little rundown of what you have going on and maybe the inspiration for how it came about?
Yeah, we've got obviously a Championship League pool coming up on the 22nd of March. So we're very excited about that. Lots to look forward to. Feels like we've been doing back-to-back events probably in the last 6 months. And we've just had like a month off just here in the office working away for our new CLP event. We've always done a previous event, which is currently running Championship League Snooker. So we adopted the format from that event, and it's always been a very successful, enjoyable event for the snooker players. It's grown, it's progressed over the years, especially the last year in the pandemic. We found that a lot of people sort of sitting at home watching live sport, and we've just been churning out hours and hours of snooker. And the format, you know, worked really well as like a league table. You build up points as to frames that you win. So what we've done is we've taken the Championship League snooker format and brought it over to pool. It's something that's been in our minds for quite a while now, but it's the opportunity has come around, fortunately, in the situation that we're currently in, which is, you know, a great silver lining. It's always been a little bit tougher for us because players aren't based here in the UK like they are in snooker. It's very difficult for us to get the top 19 players across the world to come here to the UK at this particular time. You know, we had such a long list of players from the Philippines, from China, Chinese Taipei, all of these players that we really wanted in the field. But unfortunately, with the way that things are at the moment, quarantine when you're getting back to your home country, and just flights are super expensive right now. So it's been really difficult to actually get some of our players that we wanted to get in. But that was the inspiration behind the event. And it's something that, you know, we'd like to continue for the future. We don't like to do just a one-off event. We'd like to put our all into it. And hopefully it's something annually or even that we can take twice a year, for instance. So we're just going to give it our all. Churn out as much pool content as we can, because I know the fans are dying for some live professional pool since the Moscone Cup. So we're just going to see how it goes and make it as exciting as possible. Race to five, 24 matches a day, 20 hours. I mean, what more could you want?
Yeah, and the last time I had you on the podcast, you had actually hinted towards having this event, and what you
must have forgotten.
Well, you said something very interesting the last time was you would discuss kind of like what it takes to put this on, and that it was a little bit maybe easier than the other productions, and so therefore you guys might even look at doing this 2, 3, 4, 5 times a year potentially. Is that in the future potential plans? Is to give us these players significantly more in the I guess throughout the course of a year?
Potentially. We've only historically done Championship League snooker once a year. Last year, we did it 3 times in 1 year with the current situation. So the setup of the event, 2 tables, it's quite scaled back. So, you know, people tuning in, I don't want them to sort of expect Moscone Cup setup, because that's not what this event is about. This event is about live content and relentless matches, just back-to-back games. And things like that. So with that kind of format, it means that we can potentially produce more of these events. You know, it's an 8-day event. Matchroom, we don't do an event that long. You know, our maximum was 6 days, which is, has been the US Open. And so being able to set up this kind of production allows us to have to run an 8-day event. So potentially later on in the year when we're doing our second Championship League snooker event, why not do another version of this? But again, it all comes down to numbers. It comes down to, you know, if it's enjoyable, if people are tuning in. So we just take each day as it comes. We like to plan as though if we've said we've got 6 events in the Matchroom calendar, then we've got 6 events, and all we're going to keep doing each year is to build. But we can't neglect the events we already have. We can't run before we can walk. So the aim is always there to keep our events stable, but to also keep increasing them. So we can just keep trying, keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully we can get some more Matchroom pool content for everyone.
You got me on board. All right, so let's talk about the format itself. It's the format, while this is used in snooker a lot, it's a little bit, we'll say, foreign to the pool community. And I finally feel like I got my head around it. But it took a couple readings and some videos to understand it. So why don't you take us through the format of it, and hopefully everybody just gets it perfectly, and we don't have to worry about it going forward.
I won't divulge into it too much because it's definitely not my specialty. But it takes it very different to reading it on a website to actually have an explanation video. I mean, Nick Till did a great job with it. He looks like the weatherman at the front.
Yeah, and, that's kind of what I was thinking too.
Believe me, if you feel like you can't understand it, it's taken me years to try and understand the Championship League snooker format. It is literally, we have 19 players across 8 days. And so we have 7 groups and 7 players within each group. And so our first group lineup, if you haven't seen it, is absolutely... I can't wait to even... I'm going to be in the arena just watching because it's going to be fantastic. You've got the likes of Niels Fyhn, Chris Melling, Kelly Fisher, Alban Alshan, Josh Filler. Who am I missing? There must be someone else. There's three others.
On day one.
Pretty catchy. And 2 more. Come on. There's 2 more.
I'm on it, maybe. I'm on it.
How can I forget these?
Put my detector help.
There's Chris Robinson, yes. Chris Robinson, and then...
Joshua Filler, Alban Ocean, okay. Niels Fyhn, Eklanti Kachi, Chris Melling, Chris Robinson, and Kelly Fisher.
Oh, okay, maybe I just couldn't count. I got them all.
Counting is hard.
So group one, we're starting on the 22nd of March with that lineup of 7 players. I mean, what more could you want? So...
We've 6 more days.
Yes, 6 more days. We've got 2 tables. Those 7 players play across the 2 tables on the 1 day. And what happens is they're all playing race to 5 matches. And in those matches, they're accumulating points for racks won, the matches won, and that gets you your league table. So at the end of the day, when all of the matches are complete, and you may figure out some results as the day is, you know, going along, you'll have one player who's at the bottom of the table. They get relegated and they go home. Then you get the person who reaches the top of the table who goes straight into the winners group, which is on the 29th of March. So they go straight through, higher prize money, ranking points, Matchroom pool, as soon as you get into that winners group. And then the remaining 5 players go to the next day. So then you've got day 2, group 2, you've got the 5 players that have just come through, 2 new players, which is David Alcaidi and Fortunski.
Miansko Fortunski.
We all know from US Open, terrible on pronouncing names. So that's how the format works. And then day 3, we have Darren Appleton and Billy Thorpe. And I'm not going to try and remember all of these off by heart because I'm going to make an absolute fool out of myself. But I think you can get the format. So it's a little bit difficult. Obviously, if you're coming along for 1 day, and you get relegated and you get sent home. But again, this is a format we've adopted from Championship League snooker. And like I touched on earlier, we're not fortunate enough to have this big pool of players here in the UK. Like we do on the snooker, it's a little bit easier for a player to travel 2 hours down the road and to come and participate in a one-day event. But it's a format that is, that works, and it's a format that we can improve on or bring into the fold in down the line, back-to-back with other events potentially. So it means players are already there or something like that, or we can try and increase prize money. So it's a start, and we have a lot to build on. But I think once you see that day one and you see how the format works, it's going to be so exciting for fans, because you're going to have table one, table two. You can tune in for your two different matches. Wherever you are based, you if you head to the Matchroom Pool website, it will explain to you where you can watch table one and table two. So then you've also got your 12 matches on each of the tables, and basically 10 hours on each of those tables as well. So you're getting a proper pool fix. And you're just going to be reading the table, seeing where the players are coming in, and you can follow a player throughout the tournament. So it's very different. We obviously haven't done it in pool before. It's an 8-day event. And yeah, so we're really excited.
Okay, so two things. Just be happy that Conrad isn't playing and only Miensko. Because Justician is a very hard word. That's a very hard name to say. You don't have to say that one.
I'll just escape that one.
I got to feel like he's just used to being called Conrad at this point. And just no last name needed. So there was one thing that I wanted to address there. You said that the final group has ranking points. Would you like to address, of course, this is an invite tournament and you're going to potentially get ranking points out of it. What do you say to the people who aren't able to play in this, that they're missing out on potentially an opportunity to get some ranking points towards not only future Moscone Cup, or well, I guess the future Moscone Cup, but other potential Matchroom events as well?
Well, let's flip it and say what an incredible opportunity we're giving to those players who may not always have that opportunity to get onto the Moscone Cup or onto the ranking points. So I think point one, we address that fantastic opportunity that some of these players don't normally get. I'm not going to hide behind the fact that it is a bit questionable where you look at the rankings and, you know, an invitational tournament. But what I think we need to remember is that our Matchroom Pool World Rankings needs to start somewhere. We're in an extremely tough time at the moment where there aren't any, you know, live events that are happening. And for us to have a fair look at the Moscone Cup this December the 6th, and for us to have a good future for Paul, we need to start these rankings somewhere. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to streamline our 6 Matchroom Pool events, whether we get to the World Cup of Pool and players are selected from the Matchroom Pool World Rankings, whether the invite category changes for the World Pool Masters and players can actually qualify into that event. This is making all of our events a lot fairer. And even though 2021 maybe, you know, raise a few questions and seem a bit unfair to these players that perhaps are not getting the invite into Championship League Pool, we have to start somewhere. But we're also trying to address our tier selection as well. We appreciate that the ranking points for the Championship League Pool may be slightly different to a US Open. So we will be announcing our structure of tiers as well to show that where our events sit and where points will be awarded. We are trying to be as fair as possible where we can be, but we can't hide behind the fact that we need to start the rankings. Otherwise, we're just going to sit here just continuing to select wild cards and things like that. We're never going to get anywhere unless we start somewhere. And so quite happily sort of raise a few questions now in order to be in a much stronger position in a year's time for Matchroom Pool and for the sport of pool, potentially for the next Championship League Pool. players can earn their spot from the rankings. So again, we need to start somewhere. So try and believe in that. And I would just hope that people can look at the bigger picture. And that's what we're trying to introduce. We're just trying to set it up. But again, step by step, slowly but surely, it's for the future of pool.
More data is better data.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. All right. So real quick question. Stephen Hall had a really good question out there. I think I already know the answer to this because I don't think Matchroom cuts corners, but will there be commentary and a full production on both of the tables?
Table one will be our production. So that's where we'll be pushing everyone to look for, which is the commentary and our... What I'd like to think is, if you ever tuned in for the US Open double elimination round and our full Moscone Cup production, it's like an in-between to there. So again, we wouldn't put anything out with our name on that we're not happy with. It's how we've been producing our Championship League snooker, and we've been producing extraordinary viewing figures for that, as well as really good sponsorship on that event as well. So we're going to be putting out how we've been doing that, perhaps a little bit more because we have that little bit more passion for pool. Don't hold me to that, but we want to be able to push table two out if you want to be able to watch both of them or to see that match unfolding. So we could just show table one and not showcase table two, but we'd like to get as much content out there as possible.
Perfect. All right. So we can move on from the format. Let's talk a little bit about, of course, we can't have nice things in pool without some drama. So let's talk a little bit about not only the sponsor Predator, but also, you know, of course, there's two ways of looking at it. Predator made this event available to even happen. But with that comes a little bit of drama. So let's address, I guess, real quickly, kind of what happened there and how it's not going to affect the tournament, hopefully going forward, or at least for this one.
It's not going to affect the tournament. And I think what we need to remember is that we're in a global pandemic and there are no live professional pool events. The last live professional pool event was the Moscone Cup in December. And we're now a couple of months on. We've just announced a 6-event calendar where no one else is doing any events. So Matchroom Pool have never had a calendar this big. And I know 6 is actually quite a small number when you look at it, but we've not had a calendar this big. All it shows is that we're not in this for the short term. We're in pool and in this sport for the long term. And that's what we're trying to do. Championship League pool has always been on our radar. Like I've mentioned it to you before, like you know, you've mentioned, it's always been on our radar because it's a format that works in Q Sports with snooker. Predator were a vital part of getting this event over the line. Title sponsorship benefits are there, and it has been very clear. It's also been out to offer to other people, and it's, you know, Predator are great partners of ours, and that's no lie. They've been with us for many years. But one thing that has happened, which I think is a great silver lining to this entire situation, is that it's opened the doors to communication with Matchroom and all of the other sponsors out there. You know, we've never really had any relationship with Mucci or even Pericues or anything like that, but we have that communication with these companies because of the situation that has happened. And one thing that we've been trying to do is to communicate. And I appreciate it's all behind closed doors, and this was all a drama that unfolded from some podcasts and from some comments, but it was never really a situation until it got highlighted to be a situation. Obviously, some players have withdrawn, and that's absolutely fine. That's down to them. At the end of the day, the facts are the facts. Predator are the title sponsor of the event, just like Party Poker are title sponsor of the Moscone Cup just gone. Usually, no competing brand can be on any sort of jersey or any form of branding at the event. That has never been the case with Championship League pool. Every player has always been permitted to wear their own sponsors on their jerseys. It has been communicated since day one that all the players must have a Predator CLP patch on their jersey. And by Predator CLP, it's an event composite logo, which means that Predator is only displayed on the players as in association with the event only, not through individual player endorsement. And when you really think about it and when you actually tune into the event, you'll see these patches, they all have to be certain sizes and things like that. And when you tune in, you can clearly see it's a Predator-sponsored event. They're the title sponsor, just like when you tune into the Moscone Cup and you see Party Poker sponsor it. It's exactly the same. But what I do understand is that this is the first time it's happened in pool with Matchroom. And so I understand why fans maybe didn't understand or why it's been a bit unsure for the players and hence drama. But again, we're here to produce more events and we're here to invest money into the sport. And unfortunately, the negativity that has come into play has overshadowed all of the work that we have put in to try and even get this event off the ground. We were grinding so hard to try and get this event just to announce it. And like I said, Predator were a vital component to getting that over the line. Just as much as Aramis, Simonis, Kamui, Rasson, they have all been vital components to getting this event over the line. Predator have the title sponsorship rights to it. And, you know, there's like some benefits that are attached to that. But like I said, all of that work that the Matchroom team, the Predator team, that we have all been putting into this has been overshadowed by negativity that maybe, unfortunately, just because nothing's really happening right now, it's a talking point. But our aim has never been to single out any other Q sponsors. It's never been to single anyone out. All we want to do, we're sports promoters at the end of the day, and we promote pool. We want to expand the industry. We want to promote the sport. So what would people rather us do? Stick to 5 events or stick to 6 events with certain regulations in place?
If I can answer that, I would much rather see about 30. What can you do for that?
You know, it's a new thing for everyone. And I appreciate that it's raised a few questions and more than happy to talk about it and to speak to people who, you know, may not have understood it correctly. But like I said, a silver lining to this has been that it's started a communication amongst the industry and it's, you know, brought relationships together that necessarily weren't there. There has been a communication error amongst the industry where our facts weren't really out there. And that was something that was important that we needed to obviously address. But again, it wasn't really a huge thing for us because when we look at the player field, unfortunately, someone like Fedor Gorse, who's the world champion, you know, we would love to have him at the Championship League pool. Of course, we want the world championship there, the world champion there. But a silver lining is obviously from that withdrawal, we've got Christina Tkach that's now going to be in the event. What a fantastic opportunity she has been given. And I know Fedor is extremely disappointed that he's not in the event because of the situations that obviously arose, but a great opportunity for someone like her to come into the mix. And so, again, it is a shame that we don't see these big players that have withdrawn, but let's not come away from the fact that all of these other fantastic players are coming into the mix. Championship League pool at the end of the day. It's a totally different format. It's a great opportunity for some players who would never really get a chance onto the rankings to have that opportunity. So let's try and focus our energy onto all of the positivity that is coming out of a 6th event. This is the first event back since the Moscone Cup. What other live professional pool events are happening right now? Except from, you know, online virtual or anything like that. There's no other live pool content that's going out.
So, let's dial into what I think is one of the most positive parts of this, and you kind of touched on it already. We get to see 3 women players in this event, which personally, I love women's pool. It makes me really happy. I want to see more women get involved with pool. I think it's exciting to see it. Why don't you take us through the women that got the invite and your prediction on how they're going to do, because I think that you would love to give that prediction.
Well, we've actually just filmed our Loose Paul special edition today that's going to be released on Monday because it's International Women's Day. So we've done a special edition with myself and two other women that I know that all of the younger women out there are going to just absolutely love this podcast. So we're really looking forward to that. The three female invites, obviously, for Championship League Pool. We've got Kelly Fisher, Group 1, which race to five. She's even said to herself, she's like, this is anyone's game. You know, I'm really fancying my chances. I'm 100%. Shane was definitely sweating at the Whirlpool Masters when she was really giving him a run for his money. Like, this is great. This is race to five, match after match after match. And she said herself, you know, she could go out, have a bit of a rocky start, but she can pick it back up again. And she only needs to get from sixth, obviously, onwards. So, and then we've got Christina coming into the fold. I've never actually watched her participate, obviously, in a Matchroom Pool event. She's coming into Group 4. I'm not going to add up my maths, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th of March. I'm really excited to see how she plays. I've got no idea. I think, you know, she's a great, young, good-looking pool player, and I think it's fantastic for our sport as well. And then third, we've got Jasmine Alshan coming in, and she's coming into Group 7. So it's great. We've got Group 1, Kelly Fisher, Christina Group 4, in the middle, and then Jasmine coming into Group 7. What a fantastic opportunity. And even more so, again, we're touching base on sort of the ranking points for the winners group. Maybe even the winner gets into the Whirlpool Masters. We're not sure. Again, we're trying to streamline our Matchroom Pool events to try and give more of a fairer overall opportunity. So people can look at it and go, yeah, I want to get onto these ranking points, because if I get here, it means I can get to there, and it's less wild cards. And I know Championship League Pool was started from an invitational tournament. I get that. But again, we must start somewhere. So I don't know how they're going to play. It could go absolutely Pete Tong, but I'm sure I have every bit of confidence in all three of those players that they, as soon as they got their invite, which was as soon as we started and we announced this event, we invited out all 19 players. I know we like to tease everyone, and we like to release one day by day. I mean, you all know what it's like. As soon as we picked the Moscone Cup players, do you think that we really picked them that late? You know, we get all five of them, for instance, and we drip feed it just to keep everyone going. So we've had all of our 19 players in. Yes, we had a few withdrawals, and those were last minute decisions that have come into play. But, you know, Jasmine's always been someone that we've wanted to have in the event, as well as Kelly. So, again, no idea how it's going to pan out, but this is a great format for them. Race to five, match after match. They've got a real good opportunity here. And what a fantastic chance that we've got to showcase women in pool.
Did we get a little bit of a drop there with the winner of this potentially getting into the Masters? I can't let that go.
I don't want to start any more hate questions coming our way along with the rankings and things. So, yeah, potentially.
Oh, that's awesome. Real quick, before we move on, Roy wants to know when you can have your bicycle race against him.
A bicycle race?
Roy Francisco says he wants to race you in a bike, or he wants to cycle you.
Can't say I'm very good at cycling. Maybe a sprint or a marathon. I'm quite good at long races like that.
Well, there you go, Roy.
Well, he can send me a Peloton bike and send it to my flat, and I'd really appreciate that.
You got to send me one of those too. I need, man, all this sitting around all day. I put on my COVID, I put on my COVID-19 about six times now. All right. Anyways. All right. So let's discuss the other. Of course, we can't go without more drama than this. The Billy Thorpe was announced yesterday. What kind of thought went into this? Was he one of the original 19, or was he one of the? Of course, there was dropouts. Was he one of the late additions? And what was Matchroom's, decision that went into that?
Billy was one of the replacement players. So we, of course, announced both Shane and Skylar for Championship League Pool, which were our two American players for the event. Following Shane and Skylar's withdrawal, our next two players that we wanted to invite and that we saw fit to invite following performances at the Moscone Cup as well, because that's, again, there's no live events happening right now. All we can go from is the Moscone Cup. The next two players that we would invite following those two withdrawals is Chris Robinson and Billy Thorpe, regardless of anything else. Again, it was always Shane and Skylar that before the event were just two Americans, and they withdrew. And so in all of that time and space that we had, you know, within the 24 hours, we obviously picked our two replacement players. So that's the process for both of those players' invitations. And I'll touch base again on what I mentioned earlier. What a fantastic opportunity for these two players to have to look at their Moscone Cup down the line. Again, also, you would probably look at an event like the World Pool Masters, the World Cup of Pool. And I'm assuming if I said to you right now, who are the two players for the World Cup of Pool for a Team America, who would you say?
Well, I mean, it's got to be Shane and Sky, I guess. They're still number one and number two. I mean, you could potentially start bringing in Justin Bergman. I mean, that dude is lethal. But yeah. I think
that's... If you're looking at things and you're looking at Chris Robinson, Tyler, Billy, Justin Bergman, when do they ever have an opportunity to get into these events unless, you know, we invite them in these sort of instances? Yeah. So, again, they've taken the opportunity to accept that invite. We saw fit for Chris Robinson and Billy to be the next two of the players to invite, and that's how we acted, and we did that accordingly. I'm guessing you want me to comment on the situation. That's why you've obviously mentioned it. It's very different with the Billy situation that happened some time ago. I think it would have been very different for us if we were a couple of weeks leading up to like a Moscone Cup event, or if he, at the time of that, he was never actually contracted to a Matchroom event. So it wasn't really our place to come out and say anything or act in any way. We're not a governing body at the end of the day. Yeah. We're a pool promoter. We're not managers of Billy. He wasn't tied to any of our events. So it would have been unfair, and also it wouldn't have been right for us to come out, and there wasn't anything for us to come out and say. I understand for, you know, a sponsor to come out and say something or to act in a certain way because they're managing him. They've got their name tied to Billy. We don't. Again, we're just pool promoters at the end of the day. But that doesn't mean we're not invested into the sport or to the players. I personally let the dust settle. I did see the video. I was very shocked and disappointed in Billy's behaviour. Not any more than what he probably is himself. And I say the word shocked because he has participated in our events at Matchroom, and it's not behaviour that we've been accustomed to or we've seen before. He's always been very polite and very kind to any of our staff, and it's not something that we've seen from him. So, again, that's why I say shocked. But we're not a governing body, but we do want to take care of the players, and we do want to be here to educate and to help. One aim that we all have here at Matchroom is to help professionalise and to grow the sport. So for a situation like that, it would be key, and it wouldn't be right for us to just set aside someone who's obviously needs help in direction and educating into professionalism. You know, Billy's a great player. He's made a big, big mistake and he knows about it. I have spoken to him. I think it was a week or so after the event. To be completely honest, I just asked if he was okay, because, again, it was shocking behaviour from what I had seen. And if any, he's very remorseful, and I'm sure everyone knows that. But it's not our place to ban a player. It wasn't at a Matchroom event. Again, we're not the governing body, so we wouldn't ban him from a matchroom event for something that's not happened at one of our events or we know the full facts to. Mm-hmm. So I have spoken to him and he'll tell you the same, told him that we do not tolerate that kind of behaviour. I'm sure he knows what brought it on. And he definitely won't be acting like that again. But at the same time, we've said if there's anything that we can do to help guide you for that, you know, not to happen or how you can sort of move forward in your career, we're here. So it's not down to us to penalise him for those actions. We don't tolerate that kind of behaviour, 100%. And we won't ever see that kind of behaviour at a matchroom event. So all we can do is help all the players to professionalise, to guide them into how we can build their career, earn more money, get more tournaments on the calendar, get more pull on the TV. That's our aim. We don't want to shut anyone out. And, you know, everyone makes mistakes, not condoning his behaviour at all. But everyone does make mistakes. And that's obviously the thought process behind the Championship League pool.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's move on to, I guess, the future plans for this event. We already discussed this a little bit, but we're hoping maybe to do this a yearly thing, maybe multiple times a year. We're not exactly sure exactly what that looks like. Do you have any other future plans for the event that you would like to discuss?
For what event, sorry?
For the Championship League pool.
Yeah, let's just fingers crossed it all goes well. No, yeah, we'd like to, it's an annual thing we'd like to do. No idea when, it's not going to lie. It's worked well for this point in the calendar. It's kind of sandwiched between some snooker events and it's worked. It's a good time to do it. So, you know, we like to try and plan these things. So looking ahead, we'd like to try and do it at a time of the year that works for us and works for the calendar. And also it's financially viable to do it. This event doesn't make any money. It's again, an investment into the sport and an investment for us into our matchroom pool stable. So we're going to see how it goes. We hope it's something that we can continue. And we'll just time it at a place that's right so we can keep it going.
Perfect. All right. Well, of course, you have already hinted at this several times. There are 6 events on the schedule. We don't have to just talk about the Championship League pool. So unless you have any closing thoughts on the Championship League pool.
No, I think we're all good. Just tune in on the 22nd of March. If you're in the States, it's DAZN. If you're over here in the UK, it's on Free Sports and on Matchroom Live. And anywhere else, just head to our website and it just shows you all of the broadcasters that it's available in both tables.
All right, so that is that. Let's move on to the next one chronologically, which is going to be the World Pool Masters. In the history, this has always been held in Gibraltar, at least recently. It's been held in Gibraltar. And the, I guess, let's start right there. Is that still going to be the hosting location? And is our fans going to be allowed to potentially show up for it? Do you know those, I guess, know all that information yet?
Not entirely. We're still planning. We've already changed our calendar from when we initially announced it. That just shows how often, you know, the climate is changing. So we are still planning for our May dates for Gibraltar, for it to host over there. We've got a boxing show for next month there as well. So we're still questioning whether we can have fans in there. We're working to the dates that we've said and we're working on our player list at the moment. So we're hoping to announce those details soon and to get our player invites out very soon as well. So we're trying to get all geared up and ready for it, with the World Pool Championship taking place just slightly before. That's going to be here in the UK. Again, we're planning for that for May. If we need to delay it further, then we'll delay it further. But there's a reason for delaying every time. And we're just taking each step as it comes, really. No point rushing into any decisions and just doing everything that's best for the events and for the players.
Yeah. All right. So then the World Pool Championships. Let's discuss this briefly. 128 person field. I know that you had talked in the past about actually increasing that that pool of players. This doesn't seem probably like the year that's going to be feasible. Are you still going to be able to get the 128 players for the event, you think?
Yeah, I think very confident that you'd get the 128. It's just being realistic about where people are able to come from. We've noticed it from Championship League pool that we've been unfortunate in trying to get some of the Filipino players or any players from Asia to come over. And they're obviously top, top players in our sport, and we need them in the World Pool Championship. So it's quite obvious that we can stage a behind closed doors event in the UK successfully. Our reasoning for always delaying these events like the World Pool Championship is because we want to get the top 128 player field. We don't want it to be, you know, 90% of that is all European because we can't get any of the other players coming in. You know, the problem isn't everyone coming here, it's them getting back to their own countries. And so we're looking at this very closely to ensure that we can get that filled. And again, if it means we need to delay it, then we will delay it. But we are aiming for 128 player field behind closed doors in May here in the UK. We are looking at 16 tables, 5 days, with us producing one table. I mean, the setup will be absolutely fantastic. And it'll probably be our best behind closed doors event that we produce. But again, it's very important to us to show a complete and fair field. And that's one of our priorities, especially with ranking points being made available to these players as well. So again, it's just seeing how the current climate is and taking each day as it comes and judging it like that, really. But we are focused for here in the UK on our May date.
Perfect. Okay, so you froze just for a second there, sorry. Okay, so let's move on to I would say, of course, everybody's favorite event is the Moscone Cup, so that just kind of goes without saying, but I would say my second most favorite event that you guys do is the World Cup of Pool, and we'll clump it in with the U.S. Open as well. Why haven't there been any dates announced for it, and when do you think we might be able to see some of those?
I think we've got our dates set aside, potentially. But we are looking at early June for the World Cup of Pool here in the UK. Potentially still looking at behind closed doors or whether we can open it up to fans. Our main one that we're working to for fans would be the Moscone Cup. So again, we want to be realistic in the players that we can get over here. We are focused again on early June here in the UK, still 32 teams. A six-day event. So we do have that scheduled in and we are working to that. And with it being in early June, it's a little bit more manageable. So we're very confident and positive that we can get that event off the ground. But again, it will be here in the UK.
Perfect. And then the US Open, would you like to discuss that one?
Oh, that's a tricky one.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Now we're getting there.
Are we going to have the US Open in the UK?
No, we can't do that. Goodness me. We might be British, but we wouldn't ruin the event like that. No, we know it needs to be in the States. It's very difficult for us. We're not based over there. We are in discussions with various states of taking the US Open, obviously, to America. It's not set on Las Vegas. That's why we haven't got any dates out there and why we don't have a venue, because we are working on where it will be. We also, of what we've realized, is that where all these events, there aren't any live pool events happening really from now until summer. So all of the pool events that were happening have now gone into the second half of the year and clogging up the calendar. What we're finding slightly tricky is that the pool calendar is getting quite packed in sort of September and October. So we're trying to manage dates in these venues, and because of the pandemic, obviously so many sporting events are moving and there isn't any availability anywhere. So we're not focused on Vegas. We are looking across America, and we're trying to work for a September and October option. And we're just working hard to try and get that, really. The only reason why we don't announce anything is because it's not confirmed. As soon as we have dates, as soon as we have a venue, we'll make sure that everyone knows about it. But we're still hopeful for the US Open. And we're just focusing on the earliest stuff for the time being.
Can I make a suggestion for a location? I think you should do it in Madison, Wisconsin. That's my suggestion.
Will you give me a free venue and some hotel rooms and I'll be there?
Yes. I just can't guarantee what those will look like. All right. So, no, that's exciting. And you, of course, you're still looking at the 256 field for the US Open.
Yep.
And I, at one point in time, when in a previous discussion, you had toyed with the idea of potentially doing a larger than 256 field. Again, this isn't the year probably for that. Is that still something you guys like the idea of?
Yeah, of course. You know, if anyone's going to be sort of aggro in that respect, it's going to be us. And it'll be one of our aims to take the US Open and to double the field. I think we'd all end up having mental breakdowns probably during the event, but that's why we're in this business. But I think that our most important factor right now is to be able to find dates and a venue for this year and to actually logistically make the US Open happen this year. In light of the current situation, we found a new way of producing our shows, which opens the doors to, you know, different ways that we can do things. So we're confident to try and get, you know, the 256 over in the States, but again, it's just a lot of work. Maybe in a couple of years' time, we'll double the field.
Perfect. All right. So before we move on to the Moscone Cup, which of course is the biggest, Lil Chris did ask a question. Essentially, the heart of it is have you ever thought about trying to get the fans more engaged with giveaways or anything like that during any of these events? I'm not sure what that would look like logistically, but
as in behind closed doors when
they're not there? Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. That'd be a very difficult thing for us to manage, but we're certainly trying to look at new ways that we can engage with our fans who aren't there in the arena. And it's definitely something that's very new to us and a challenge. We trialed it a little bit at the Moscone Cup, and it's something that we haven't quite dismissed. So it just needs a brainstorm here. We want to engage with the fans, definitely. They're the ones tuning in. They're the ones getting excited. They're the ones that are watching. So we will be trying. If there's any sort of ideas, we are open to ideas. We're happy to do giveaways. Again, it's a little bit of a logistical challenge, but maybe we need to think outside the box a little bit. But there are things like, you know, Instagram filters that we were working with during the Moscone Cup, which went down really well. You know, fans messages on the board, that's certainly stuff that we're sort of looking at. We do find that there's a lot more fan engagement with our other events through Twitter, something that we don't really get on for Paul. So we just need to get everyone onto these social media channels, see how we can engage with them during our live show. But it's definitely a good point, and I'm going to make a little note of it down here, and we'll brainstorm it for our Championship League pool event coming up.
I'm very helpful. I'm good at that. Maybe. I don't know. I'll just put myself out there. I don't know. I probably suck at it. All right, let's move on to the most exciting pool production in the entire world, the Moscone Cup. December 1st through the 4th. Still don't have a venue for it, but there's got to be fans, right? By December, we got to have fans.
Yeah, so the dates this year is the December the 6th to the 9th. Yeah.
1st through the 4th was last year. Ignore me.
That's why you're not working here at Matchroom.
Rookie move.
We are set for 6th to the 9th. The event is meant to be over in America, but if you've just listened to what I've been talking about for the US Open, logistically it's hard for us to try and get an event over there at the moment. The reason why nothing's been published is because it's not confirmed yet. We are still looking at a stateside or potentially UK option for the event. As soon as we get those details in, We want to get tickets on sale straight away. We are hopeful, we're confident that we'll have fans in it regardless of where it is. So we're just going to aim to get our sixth event on the calendar up there first, but we will be looking ahead for December the 6th, plans to be there for the Moscone Cup. It means it's going to be here, it's going to be here. If it's over in America, it's in America. But I promise you, we are working on it and we'll get any information out to everyone as soon as we can.
Perfect. So we've already discussed this a little bit, but there are going to be rankings that are going to start deciding, so we don't have to, as you put it, wildcard everything. Why don't you discuss a little bit about the selection process that you guys are not only implementing, but putting in place to more fairly decide the players on both the Europe side and the US side?
Well, I think it's always been one rule for Europe and another for USA, but it's no secret that the two are very different. You know, there's sort of an established tour over in Europe and there is a way of actually having ranking points and things like that. But that was at a time when we didn't even have that many events in the Matchroom Pool stable. What we would like to do and what our aim is to have the same qualifying structure for both teams. And so what we need to do is we need to invest a lot more time and efforts into Team USA. We appreciate that it can't just be five wildcard picks. But again, we appreciate it can't be five players off of the rankings. So we need to find some sort of balance. For 2021, it's a bit different, again, because we don't really know what the calendar actually looks like of pool events except from our own. So what we're looking at doing is as soon as we've finalised our captains and maybe our vice captains, we'll be announcing a full structure as to how players will be qualifying or get onto the Moscone Cup for this year. Again, I've seen lots, you know, I've seen a few things on social media where American fans especially would like a fairer process for getting onto the team, which I couldn't agree with more. And that's something that we're all working towards here at Matchroom. But again, we need to be a little bit realistic in this. There's not as many events on that calendar, but we are looking at a ranking structure that we need to start off with. So we will be announcing that, and we would like to develop something that, please appreciate, it's probably going to be a lot more form. It's going to be formed a lot better in a couple of years' time. But we've got to start. We'll start slowly with it. But it's definitely on our radar. We are 100% not happy here with how, especially, well, both sides, both teams have sort of qualified onto the events. It's always been the same thing. We're not happy with the certain ranking events that have been on the calendar beforehand. We want to streamline it all. We want to have a fairer process. We think this is better for the sport anyway. So it's on our priority list again, but it's something that we want to put a lot of thought into and try and fare out for this year. Because again, there's no events. There's only the events that we're saying at the moment that we actually concrete really know about. So we just need to be realistic about that. But we don't want to go back to a sort of wild card selection sort of process that it was a couple of years ago or even before that. Team USA are different now. And even though they lost quite badly in December, the mentality of the team is different. And the USA players, I think, even looking at Championship League pool and how those two American players have got onto the event and are now looking at their chances at the other Matchroom Pool events. There's now going to be a qualifying structure and there's going to be a much better structure. So these players now know that it's not who's friends with the captain or anything like that or friends with Matchroom. If you go on the tour and you play your matches, you travel from A to B and you earn your way, then you should get onto the Moscone Cup 100%. But again, we're in an entertainment business at the end of the day and we're sports promoters. So there needs to be a balance. It's a top priority, I can assure you that.
Yep. Well, I guess that that basically wraps up all the questions I had for you. I mean, unless anybody out there has any more questions that they would like to ask Emily, of course, keep them appropriate. We all know how savages you guys are out there. But Emily, I guess, do you have any closing thoughts about the kind of the direction that Matchroom is going in the future? Of course, we have a 6-event schedule this year. That's more than there's ever been before. You guys are obviously in it for the long haul, innovating, doing the things you need to do to grow this game. Do you have any closing statements that you would like to make about the direction of Matchroom as a whole?
Closing statements? I feel like I'm about to put forward for like a presidency or something.
we'll hire you for that job.
I think I said it recently, we're in this for the long term. We're not in it for the short term. And the decisions that we're making is because we love this game. Every single person in our team is so passionate about pool, and probably more so than all of our other sports, which is, you know, something that we shouldn't really admit. Everything we do is because we love this sport. We love our pool events so much, and that's why we've got a 6th pool event. It's not because it's making us bundles of money. It's because we know that there's something here in pool, and we know that there's an opportunity here. But we absolutely have so much passion for it, and our team here hasn't been... it's at the strongest it's ever been, and the ideas and the innovative thoughts that are coming from everyone right now is just off the scale, in especially in a situation where, you know, it's hard being stuck at home, or, you know, we're doing sort of long hours and it's a very weird climate right now. We're all staying on our toes, and we're all trying to think of these different ideas to try and grow the sport that we all love. And that is literally it. We absolutely adore this sport, and we love getting up and coming to work each day to work for Matchroom Pool. So everything we do is because we love it, and we want to grow it. We want more events. If it doesn't have to be Matchroom Pool events, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't always have to be us. We want other promoters to be doing events. All we want is a full-blown calendar that says players can go A, B, C, D, and we just, and it finishes with the Moscone Cup. We want more events, and we want to work with sponsors. We want to work with promoters to build this calendar. What we can do is put on the top class shows and get these matches globally across all of the top broadcasters. We obviously bring the elite events. That's fine. We can keep doing that. But we need more events. Yes, we would love to do a global tour, and we will do a tour because, again, we're passionate about what we do. And when we put our mind to something, we will do it. But we mustn't run before we can walk. We're a small team, but we need everyone to work with us. You know, we don't always get it right. We're humans at the end of the day, and we're in 7 other different sports as well. You know, we get a lot of enjoyment out of our snooker events, out of our 10-pin bowlings, out of our ping pong events. But we love pool. So just work with us. Tune into the events. You all absolutely love them as much as we do. We just want to build the players. We want to create more events. We want to create more people that are playing in this stuff. And especially the younger girls out there as well. I want them to tune in and think, I can play in the, you know, potentially in the World Cup of Pool in a team or the World Pool Masters. That's fantastic. We need a global calendar of pool. And that's what we're going to do. But we can't do it all on our own. So just hang tight. Stick with us. Tune in to the 22nd of March. It's going to be different, but it's going to be the first event back since the Moscone.
Oh, I got to go over and activate my DAZN account again.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Bummer.
Only 2 weeks.
I guess I saved myself 20 whole dollars. If you keep this scheduling up, I don't know if I can afford Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus and DAZN. You guys got to stop putting so many calendars.
By the way.
Huh?
How good is Disney Plus, by the way?
I think the only thing I've ever watched on it is Hamilton, and I think I've watched that about 37 times at this point. So I shouldn't even call it Disney Plus. I should just call it Hamilton Plus. It's like the only thing I watch on it.
Maybe it's just me who's like this, the closet Ice Age fan. I love that film series.
The little squirrel with the nut. I guess I did watch Frozen 2 as well.
I cried to that on the plane on the way back from Vegas, but I think it was because we just cancelled the US Open.
Well, you're already a little bit emotionally distraught, I guess. So
yeah.
Well, this has been a pleasure. I really appreciate you joining me today and talking all thing Matchroom. I mean, obviously you don't need to ever convince me to tune into anything pool, but you got me fired up for it. I'm ready to tune in and watch some high quality pool for the first time. Oh man, I guess basically since December, but that wasn't really high quality. I mean, we kind of got our butts kicked. That was a little depressing.
Yeah, you did, but they'll be stronger this year.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping so. We will do our best.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you everybody for tuning in. And one more time, thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, everyone. Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. If you've liked what you've heard and you want to contribute to the future content that will be made, consider joining the podcast's Patreon at www.patreon.com/queueitup. Becoming a Patreon of the podcast will help to create all of the future content that the podcast will have. Special shout out to Dave Peters, Aaron Taylor, Pete Silsby, Morgan Lupton, Ben Young, Robert Miller, Andy Morse, and Bill Pelham for your generous contributions to the podcast's Patreon. If you ever need any more information on what the Patreon system is or how you can contribute outside of the Patreon, please reach out to the podcast or Nate himself. If you would like to contribute to the podcast for free, consider sharing any podcasts or the podcast page on Facebook itself. Also, leaving a review and a rating if you listen through iTunes. It helps others find the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon with another episode of the Queue It Up podcast.